Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, welcome to Horse Hour. I'm Amy Frost, and my guest today is Hayley Watson-Greaves. She's an international Grand Prix dressage rider. Hayley's the British Dressage Supreme National Champion, and she has the most stunning horse called Reuben's Knight. Hayley's going to share her story, including some tricky times at Olympia a couple of years ago, and how she trains Reuben's Knight and her future dressage stars. This is Horse Hour. Welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. We've been talking a lot about eventing lately. So I thought, hey, you know, it's about time we get back into dressage, which is my passion. I love it. You know, I love the dancing with horses. So today I'd love to welcome Hayley Watson-Greaves. She's an international Grand Prix dressage rider. She has ridden in the Supreme National. In fact, she's the Supreme National Champion in 2017. Great British Nations Cup team winner in Compiègne. Is that how I say that, Hayley? Is it Compiègne?
Compiègne.
See, I was never good at French at school. I knew it was French. Sounds a bit like champagne. Okay.
It does.
Gosh, congratulations. You just have so many accolades to your name. So I'm looking at your website as I'm talking to you, and I have to say a huge thank you, because we take photos when we go to events, and I've just noticed one of our Horse Hour pictures that I took is on your website.
That was from Windsor, wasn't it, last year?
Royal Windsor Horse Show?
Yeah.
Yes. How did you get on there?
Yeah, I was second to Carl Hester.
Congratulations.
So, yeah. Had an amazing time at that international. Yeah, it was amazing.
What horse did you ride there?
That's Reuben's Knight, and he's my top international Grand Prix horse. That he was the team member, as you said, at the Nations Cup in Compiègne, and he's my top horse that I'm a member of the world class podium potential with, and reserved for the Olympics in Rio as well.
Oh wow!
Reserved for the Europeans. So yeah, he is my number one.
He's your superstar horse, he is just stunning. He's Black Beauty, isn't he?
He really is. Yeah, I mean, he's always had a stunning face and a lovely quirky personality, shall we say? But he's definitely a star.
How old is he?
He's 14 this year. I've had him since he was 2 years old.
Oh, wow.
Bought him off the field. He was a bit of a rescue, I would say. He wasn't in a great state when I bought him, and bought him back and fed him up a little bit, backed him. He was a bit, he was quite difficult to back, because he absolutely loved me. We just had this relationship straight away where he would just look to me for everything. I didn't think he'd actually make the dressage circuit because I didn't think he moved well enough at the start. I think he just needed time to grow.
When you first bought him at two, how big was he?
Reuben's Knight was 16.1 when I bought him as a two-year-old, and he's now grown to 17.2. So
that's insane. I mean, you must need a ladder to get up onto
him. It does feel like that some days, I have to say. I've learned to become quite flexible to be able to get up onto him now.
Can you do, when we're young and we've got ponies, we jump onto them? Have you managed to do that yet?
No, not on him. No, definitely not. I don't think I'd want to. He'd run a mile if I started doing that.
But that must be quite, it adds in extra pressure when you're backing them, that they're not only they're young, but that is a really long way to fall.
Yes, it is. And I did actually fall off him once when he was five. It was actually getting on. I got on him and something spooked him, and I promptly fell back off him again and got knocked out. Oh. And Yeah, luckily I was wearing a jockey standard hat, you know, one of those cross country ones, because I always wear a hat anyway. But yeah, I couldn't believe it. I got knocked out and I can't really remember the incident. It was just lucky my mum was there, just making sure that when I'm on the youngsters that I have somebody on the yard. And yeah, she had to rescue Squeak and rescue me at the same time.
Oh, bless you. Yeah, did you end up in hospital?
Oh, I had to go to hospital just to be checked out. But yeah, no, I was fine. It was just one of those things, landing the wrong way. And it wasn't his fault.
And did you get your memory back?
Over the years, yeah, it's taken a while to actually remember exactly what happened. But yeah, so...
Because I had the same last year. It's a year this month.
Wow.
Had a simple injury, fell off the back, as you do, because everyone falls off. I mean, if you're going to fall off, you kind of know when it's going to happen, don't you? And you can kind of move your body a little bit. I had no idea and literally fell off his bottom out the back. And lost my memory to such an extent. God. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know what was happening. And still, even now, I mean, I thought concussion was bad.
Yeah.
But this was an insane level of concussion. Because even now, your memory, you're still not quite right. I'm still not quite right a year later.
Yeah, well, I hope I'm quite right. Do you mean like remembering what you...
Remembering. Yeah, I've never been quite right, Hayley. I mean, I can't blame that on the memory, on the accident.
Yeah, no, it's taken a few years to come back. But yeah, I mean, it was just one of those things in a random situation, and it was nobody's fault. And unfortunately, these things happen in this sport, and you just have to, fall off, get back on again type thing. So I didn't get straight back on, though.
Did you not?
I was knocked out to the point I was just whining on the floor. So,
Well, I'm glad you're okay, because we hear of these accidents a lot. And it's interesting to hear that you wear a hat all the time.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yes. Definitely.
I think that's awesome. Do you wear a hat in competitions as well?
Yes, I do. I wear a crash hat, which back in... When I first started wearing the crash hat was on Reuben's Knight, who's also known as Squeaky. That's his stable name, a lot of people know him by, so I'll use that. But yeah, I mean, because he was quite sharp and spooky, I decided a couple of competitions I wore top hats, and then I decided, actually, no, I'm going to start wearing a crash hat. And I remember one judge saying to me, "Oh, is he dangerous? Is that why you're wearing a crash hat?" And I said, "No, it's just because I care about my head." And actually, you know, you kind of start to think about it when you know when you're riding, you think, actually, why am I just wearing a top hat that I have no protection with? And because anything can happen, like a freak accident, you know, anything. So I always wear a crash hat now.
And was it hard in the beginning? Did you feel that people were judging? Because for a long time, very few of you were wearing crash hats.
Yeah, it's all, well, in competition we used to wear beaglers, which it was what we had in BD, and then into the top hats for advanced level and above. And you can still wear top hats at advanced level and above, but British dressage have brought in rules that you have to wear a proper crash hat now for levels below. I was picked up by a couple of judges saying that, "Oh, why are you wearing a crash hat? Is he dangerous?" So this was when I was higher up the level.
Yeah, but they didn't judge you. They didn't judge you down on that.
No.
Good.
No, they're not allowed to do that.
Wow.
Just because you're wearing a crash hat doesn't mean... No, it was... but of course, then Charlotte started wearing a crash hat as well. And it got quite, wide stream worldwide now. So a lot of us now wear crash hats. So I think it's good.
We just need a crash hat that looks like a top hat.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? They did actually try something like that. They had a strap underneath to keep the top hat on, because obviously in a windy day, sometimes if the top hat wasn't quite secure enough, it would fly off. So they did actually go down that route of thinking about putting some safety into the top hats, but that never took off. Otherwise, it'd be too big and bulky, and just
probably
look
break
as
your neck.
Yeah,
no, yeah. I mean, who cares about the elegance? It's like, you know, I quite like my head to stay on my neck.
Yeah,
be amazing.
But nowadays, I mean, the crash hats are just stunning. I mean, I'm sponsored by Scarf UK, and they've made me a personalised British flag hat, and it looks absolutely gorgeous. But also, you've got the safety aspect as well. So, especially for prize givings with Squeaky here, I definitely need a body protection probably as well. But
Does he find those? Does he find it quite overwhelming?
He used to absolutely love them until Olympia 2 years ago, and he trotted in really nice there. Thought, oh yeah, he feels really good. And then suddenly, some something frightened him and he bolted and properly bolted. And the arena's so small, and I came past a couple of people shouting, saying, "I'm coming through." yeah, it was quite a scary moment. It actually went viral on Facebook because somebody had taken a video of it. So on there. And then since then, he hasn't been 100%. So I just try and just take him in, do a 20, like try and make it a good experience for him rather than, you know, trying to get him around the arena. He's better with the outdoor shows like Windsor, but in the indoor shows, he gets a bit worried. So I just try and reassure him and just do a 20-meter circle instead.
Bless him. Well, it's so much for them to take in. It's one thing when they're, you know, on their own. It's just you and them, and no one's in the arena, and you're doing your tests, and everyone's quiet and polite. But when it comes to the presentation, especially with Olympia, it's so electric.
Yeah,
the atmosphere is insane.
Yeah.
Now for us, lots of things like that happen all the time. Yeah. You know, for you, it's one day in 4 years. For us, it's probably every time we go to a competition, there's a horse bolting across the arena. And I find that we get really upset about it and really quite embarrassed.
Yeah.
How would you handle that situation?
If there was at a competition, a horse bolting off.
Or if it happened to you.
Or if it happened to me.
Yeah, I see that. How did you cope with that? Were you can't, I would say never be embarrassed. It's horses.
No, definitely not.
But a
definitely
lot of riders feel like they have to keep their horse under control, and they feel to blame, and they get quite upset by what's happened.
Right. Yeah, well, they shouldn't at all. I mean, horses have their own mind. They will do things and they will get scared and anxious. Some of them are a bit naughty, but again, you have to learn how to deal with that. But yeah, definitely not to get embarrassed. I mean, if the horse is scared, just reassurance and trying to keep it under control in a way that it doesn't get to a point where it's frightened. And you just have to keep giving them confidence, because at the end of the day, they're animals and they do need reassurance from us. They trust us. So, yeah.
And if you can, laugh about it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I did when I was bolted off with, once I got it all back under control, because I thought, you're definitely not leaving the arena, young man, because there's a tunnel that you go out of the Olympia arena, and the tunnel's so small, I would have literally been bowling like I was bowling people if I'd have gone through that gap, just as Skittles, because he just would have flown through. So once I got it back under control, I did laugh about it. And I lifted my hand up and waved at everybody, to which they all laughed at me. And I was like, yeah, this is it. And then when it did appear online, I was like, well, that's, you know, just horses for you. I managed to deal with it. And yeah, I have to say, it did take me by surprise. So wasn't expecting him to do that. So again, you know, you just never know.
No.
So you have
bless
to.
Bless him. It was all a bit much for him, wasn't it?
It was a little bit, yeah. But, you know, bless him, he still comes out the next day and performs. And it's, amazing how he does that. So
wow. So you don't give him a break after an event like Olympia?
Yeah, he does. Yes. But we have, in the internationals, we do the Grand Prix competition, which is the qualifier for then the freestyle competition, which is dressage to music.
Oh, favourite.
And if we're placed on both days, we have to go back into the prize giving after the class. So after the Grand Prix, if you're top 8 or 10, then you have to go back in for the prize giving, and then the freestyle again after the class, you have to go in for the prize giving. So, and then after that, it gets a bit of a break.
So yeah. when you're choosing your music for your dressage music, I can imagine you look very bubbly and quite passionate. So I'm imagining something with a big bass and quite powerful and strong. Where do you get your inspiration from for your music?
Well, I think over the years of watching Anki van Grimsen and Isabel Vert, who are top Olympic dressage riders and have been to so many Olympics, and Isabel is still competing, and I was only the other day competing against her. It's amazing to watch. And just watching those guys and what music they use, and how detailed. So it's not just about what I like as the music, it's about what suits the horse as well. Because if you go into a Lady Gaga tune and your horse isn't, you know, it doesn't suit that and it looks awful. But yeah, if you've got a horse with that's got a bit of power behind it, and you want to accentuate the power, then you know, you want to look for something with a bit of a bass, as long as it's not going to frighten the horse.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, because they can feel it, can't they?
Oh yeah, yeah. So if you've got a horse that's quite sensitive to music, you want to be looking at something a little bit quieter with no bass. So although I might like you know, certain types of music, the horse might not like it. So it's always good to try to see whether your horse can cope with a bit of bass or cope with not cope with the bass, as it were.
And what does Ruben's night like? What's his favourite piece of music?
Well, he actually loves his current dressage to music, which was an original composition by Chris Lever, who's based in Bristol, so it's not too far away from me. And I've used that for 2 years now, and that's, I don't quite know how you describe it, but the canter's powerful. And the trot is quite elegant, so it's not as strong, but for his extended trots where he has that power, there's no bass behind it, but it's just a beautiful piece of quite powerful music. And yeah, I mean, he absolutely, when he hears that music, he knows it's his, and so he's going to be gutted when I change it this year. He absolutely adores that piece. He knows that it's his.
Hayley, I'm just waiting for somebody to come out with a little bit of dubstep or a bit of drum and bass thrown in, you know, just to jazz it up a bit, because we have become more modern. You know, we're allowed to use pop songs and we're allowed to use vocals, which is exciting. Yeah. So how do we throw in a little bit of 2018, you know?
Well, it's always good fun to try a bit of that type of music. But again, it's got to suit the horse as well. And the judges, I think, have got to come up with the times as well, because I think some of the more modern music, some of the judges might look a little bit different at. But they're warming to it, I think. There is a lady on the circuit who she does all the up-to-date songs, and the judges are quite split. But she loves it, and she just looks like she's having a whale of a time. She competes on the international circuit, and if she's listening to this, she'll know exactly who she is. she's sort of changed the view, and the crowd love it as well. I think, a lot of it is about pleasing the crowd, because we've got to get behind dressage as a sport. So, yeah, and make it more spectator friendly.
Didn't SAP, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a brand lately this year at Olympia that you could vote for what you thought, and you could be the third judge. Was it SAP?
SAP. I'd say Spectator.
It was the Spectator judging app or something.
Yes, it is the Spectator judging app. That's right.
And was brilliant. And people could judge. I mean, because you know, we all judge at home. We shouldn't. We're not supposed to judge, but we get so engrossed in what you're doing. And actually, I think as spectators, we want you to do well. We're willing you to do well.
Yeah.
So you can get a kind of a view on what people think of music by apps like that.
Definitely. And I think it's great as well. I mean, it's at the World Cup qualifiers, which I've just completed the World Cup series over the winter. Every competition, they have the spectator judging. And it's amazing how close the spectators get it to the judges that are around the arena. Mm. And in some cases, they actually have you higher than the judges, which is quite nice. And then at the end, if they've been the most consistent, so out of the spectators, if they're sort of closest to the judges, then they win a signed board with everybody that's competed. So it kind of makes it like a bit of a competition in itself. But I always say in dressage, there's not just your five or seven judges sat around the edge of the arena. Everybody, audience, spectators, people at home are all judging you as well. So it's good fun for actually for people to have a bit of fun with it, really.
So when you're riding, it's huge amounts of pressure. I mean, you've been all over the world, competed at some of the top, you know, competed for the country. Not everyone can say that. That's amazing.
No.
How do you not let all that pressure get to you?
I think it's I've got used to it over the years, and I put myself in a zone where it's just me and my horse. So I'm completely focused on me and Squeak. I have a plan. I think it's really important to plan. So I have a system before I get on, and I will go and plat him. So that's my little thing. My groom won't do that. I plat him, and then I go and get changed, and I take myself out for half an hour and just completely focus on the test and go back and work him in. And yeah, I think it's with her, that's actually from help with the world, from the world class sports psychologist has been able to help me gain focus and not be affected by the crowds. And I think since I was very young, I've never actually got nervous. So I think that's I like to have an adrenaline kick, because that's what gets me, you know, gets me going. And I have to sort of psych myself up. But Yeah, I don't get nervous, so I'm quite lucky in that respect.
I think that's such a great idea for you to do something with the horse before, though, because yeah. it's kind of a bit of you time. Like, yeah. you have a little chat with each other and say, yeah. right, squeak, you know your job, buddy. This is what yeah. you got to do. And it's just having that calm downtime.
Definitely. Definitely. And before it's music as well, I'll go and plat him and play his music to him. And I won't have anybody around me. It'll just be me and him. And we can, you know, because it's all about partnership at the end of the day. And, you know, you want to keep your partnership going. And
absolutely.
I'm a great believer in that.
Let's talk about the technical stuff then. Let's talk a little bit about how you get those gorgeous canter pirouettes. Because I can only dream of being able to do that. The only time I get a canter pirouette is when we're spooking and spinning.
Well, that's a good start. Yeah, I mean, it takes years of training because you have to not only be able to teach them that movement, but develop their muscle as well. They can't just do it. You couldn't get a four-year-old to do a pirouette, like you said, unless it's spooking, but or out in the field and having fun. But to actually train them and control the music and get them strong enough to be able to sit in those movements takes years. And there's lots of exercises that we do from the start and to build them up and to get them stronger and develop them to be able to perform the highest movements.
Would you say, because you've quite a few horses?
Well, I've currently got four horses, and I've trained four up to Grand Prix so far.
Wow.
I say so far because I'd like to obviously
you want to keep
more.
Going.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not retiring yet.
I'm not retiring, no. No way. I've only just started on my journey, so yeah.
So what age would you start looking at the canter pirouettes?
Well, I think, so my six-year-old now, he's training towards canter pirouettes. And when I say that, I mean, I'm doing the exercises on big circles to develop his strength. So he will do travers, which is like quarters in. It's like a half pass on a circle, going sideways around a circle with the bend going in the same direction. So he's learning currently a little bit of that work on a circle.
I've got a really good tip for that, Hayley, is going past cars.
Oh yeah.
You know, we're
yeah,
really good at travers going past cars yeah. sideways. Haven't
yes.
quite got it into the school yet, but
yeah, definitely. There is, I mean, well, hacking's great for doing things like that because you can actually, you know, you teach them sideways movement. So
do you, that's interesting actually. What do you do when you're hacking? I mean, in terms of the percentage of you schooling as opposed to hacking, would you yeah. say you do more one more than the other? And how do you use the hacking to benefit your schooling and vice versa?
So I used to hack quite a lot, but with all the cars and the roads getting a lot busier and we live on a main road, it's got lot more difficult to take them out on the road. So I actually go out into our fields, and we've got quite lucky. We've got a long 3-acre field, and I do cardio out there. I do sideways movements. I teach them flying changes out in the field. I teach them to do extended trots or medium trots, which I tell a lot of my students who are, you know, trying to build up their horses' medium paces. I say go in a field and just trot them and teach them that they've got another pace in there. Yeah, and I used to set up an arena out on the grass as well and go through tests because my arena at home's not a full size. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, so it's useful to go out to the field and actually ride in a full size arena.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's just it's the size of the yard. I mean, everything's quite basic on the yard, but I give them the best that I can physically can and afford. But I've managed to train 4 Grand Prix horses in my 25x48 sized arena. So
amazing.
Yeah, it goes to show you don't need a big posh arena to get there.
Well, then you give us hope.
Yeah.
We were trotting puddles. We were trotting puddles the other day. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like our pole work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he goes jumps over them. Because I've got a Friesian Cross Gelderlander.
Oh wow.
But he's beautiful. Yeah. We'll never make it Grand Prix because, you know, never gonna happen. Bless him. I adore him.
Oh.
But he does have quite a few classical dressage traits that I see in horses. I see in dressage horses, you know, the high head carriage, the really strong body, fabulous power. I mean, I felt power the other day like I've never felt before. It was literally like being in a Ferrari and going from first to sixth.
Yeah.
And when you have that amount of power in a horse, how do you use that power rather than losing control, but actually, you know, enhancing that and using it for your uplifting movements?
Lots and lots of transitions. I always say make sure you've got an accelerator, which is your leg aid. Make sure they're listening to leg aid, and then definitely make sure you've got brakes, which is the half halt that we use. And I'm not talking about pulling on both reins and holding. I'm just talking about very subtle movements that we do to teach them to contain that power. And the young horses, when you ask them to go forward, they do tend to grab hold of the bit and go, oh, well, I'm going. And you teach them over the years just to come back to you, riding them forward, making sure they're going forward off the leg. And then the transitions, making sure that they're listening to the seat and the rein aids to bring them back. So then you can start containing some of that power to use in a positive way.
Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it? Because it's quite different, I think, between you want to have the power, but we quite often feel out of I feel out of control.
Yeah.
Like, actually, the power's quite scary.
Yeah.
So I spent the whole time going calm and relax, rather than going forward. And from what I see, when I've seen you ride and saw you at the Royal Windsor show last year and you were warming up, you were so calm and relaxed. You looked so elegant, but you were moving. I mean, Ruben's night was forward and he had so much energy. And I thought, how can I get that without freaking out?
It definitely is a scary thing when you think how much horsepower you can have underneath you. And like you said earlier, it can feel like a Ferrari, which is what I feel all the time when I'm riding Squeak, because that energy just wants to go forward. But, you know, it is important to make sure you, if you tighten up, then they panic and they get faster and faster. So if you stay relaxed, then they would be more in tune to you and listening to your aids. So it is really important when they start running is to just check them back with a little half halt and say, come back here. And, you know, if they don't, then a good thing to use, a good exercise is to do a 10-meter circle and just let the circle slow them down a bit so that you can then take that breathe time to just relax and make sure that you can stay in control.
Yeah, because like Charlie Unwin said, he's part of the BEF World Class Programme, isn't he? He's a sports psychologist. And he said it's fight or flight, freeze or faint.
Yes.
And he said, you know, stop freezing or fainting because it's not, you can't do that when you're on a horse.
No, you can't. No.
So your other horses then, you've said you're training 4, right up to Grand Prix level. The 4 that you have currently, are they all the ones that are at Grand Prix?
No, they're not. No, I actually sold my first Grand Prix horse a few years back. The other two, one of them is 15, 16 now. So he's kind of semi-retired. And unfortunately, I lost the other one last year,
which is
a bit of a shame. No, that's fine.
What happened, Taylor?
Oh, he had an injury that just got worse and worse. He actually had arthritis in the end. And he was, but an injury caused by something, which I won't say. But ended up having a bad neck. So was yeah, tripping quite a lot and was a bit unhappy, so had to have him put down, unfortunately. But he's gone to a better place.
That's the hardest decision as an owner to make, is when is that right time for them?
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to, because I knew he wasn't going to recover and he didn't want to stay out in the field. He always wants to come in and have his hay and everything else. And I just thought, you know, he's not going to have a life, retired life, you know, mine for one. And two, he just doesn't want to stay out in the field. He was a big chestnut boy and didn't like the cold, or, you know, liked a bit of sun, but then decided it was much easier that he got given food rather than having to go and forage it himself. So, I had to make that decision, but, you know, I felt it was for the best. So, you know, it's obviously always hard, but for him, because we always do it for us. We're thinking, oh, we want to keep them alive, you know, because we'll feel really sad. But at the end, they don't know. And obviously, if they're not happy or going to have a happy life, then I don't believe it's, you know,
the right thing. Yeah. And are they going to be in pain? That should be the big question, is how should a horse really be being kept alive on Bute in pain all the time?
No.
And it's like, what's the best thing for the horse? Well, I'm sorry to hear that you went through that. But I hope you had a big support network around you.
Of course, yeah. My family is hugely supportive of me and my husband. And yeah, I mean, it was, I knew it was the right decision. So I didn't hesitate, if that makes sense. So yeah, I got it straight in my mind.
And how involved is your husband? Is he a, you know, is he a horse widower? Does he come and support you? Does he groom, or is he just off you pop, Hayley, have fun, I'll see you on Sunday?
I mean, he's not horsey in the slightest. We met at school many years ago, so it was the time that I'd just given up ponies to go traveling, and I went traveling with him and then got back into horses because I couldn't actually leave it alone. And I think before all this time away, I think he's just got used to it now. I think he understands that, okay, yeah, she's got to go and do her thing. But he has actually more recently, now I'm going to some more exciting shows. He's come along with me a few times and he just watches and hands stuff to me if I need it. And yeah, but no, he runs our promotional merchandise business. So he's in the office all day.
Yeah. I didn't know you did that. So you got another business as well whilst you're competing?
Well, it's a family business. So I don't tend to go in the office very much, but I do, you know, I get all the what's going on.
Yeah, you get all the news over dinner.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Do you create products? So let's say we wanted jackets and things like that, you'd go and you'd make
those? Yeah, we used to do clothing, but we now tend to stick with soft toys, so bears and animals and mugs, mouse mats, pens, things like that, just for promotional businesses. So
amazing. I want a whole load of horse hour stuff, please, Hayley. I would like the flags and the big, you know, the big hands that you get when you go to football games in America. I want those, but as horses.
That might be a long shot.
We can have Go Hayley on one side and Horse Hour on the back. Yeah, I mean, wouldn't that just, that would just be total dressage etiquette, wouldn't
that
it?
That would be, yeah. It would definitely make the test more interesting, wouldn't it?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, Hayley, you can ride to put your hands up in the air and we can all put our hands up.
Yeah. That's an incentive to get a bit more... what is it, hip hop or Arabic or pop?
Down with the kids, I think it
is. Yeah, down with the kids. Okay. We'll say that instead, down with the kids.
But there is a lot of etiquette with dressage. It isn't, you know, it's, and I love, that's what I love about it so much, is the heritage and the history and almost a little bit of glamour with it. You look so fabulous. The hair is beautiful, the nets. What is it that you love the most, and what is it that you would quite like to do without that you'd like to change?
Oh, crikey. In dressage in general, what is it I love the most? I think I love the partnership and harmony with the horse, and especially doing the dressage to music. I mean, that is my absolute favourite thing to do. It just, you know, you feel like you're dancing. You feel like you're in a ballroom with your horse and you're dancing, you've got your dancing partner and you're just gliding. It feels magical. It feels really magical. That is definitely my favorite part of what I do. What I could do without, I don't actually know, actually. I love all of it. I mean, I was a little bit wary about all the bling coming in at the very beginning because, it, like you said, the dressage is very traditional. And, you know, we always had our top hats or our plain crash hats and then our beautiful tails and, you know, the boots and things. And now they've, I mean, I love the bling now. I have some very nice bling, but I like it to be classy as well. I don't like it all over. And now they've decided to allow different colour boots, riding boots, in the tests. And I think it's a shame that they haven't stuck to the traditional black, if I'm honest. But that's just one little thing. And to be honest, I just wear what I want to. So, I wear the traditional look. So,
I love the traditional look about it. It's renowned globally. You know, everybody looks so smart, and it reminds me. It's very, very like the 1940s, really.
Yeah.
It's that kind of style, isn't it? You imagine, you know, people walking around with canes and their top hats. But I do. I love the coats, your tails so much that I bought one and I wore it once to an unaffiliated competition and everyone laughed at me, but I didn't care because I had all the gear and no idea and I just loved the coat so much. But I now wear it to meetings when I have meetings in London, and no joke, Hayley, these people aren't in the equestrian industry and they say, I love your coat, where did you get it from? And I'm like, oh, it's fabulous, it's an equestrian coat, and they all want to buy one.
Oh, there you go, new fashion.
They don't even ride. I'm like, we should be wearing these coats all the time.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
So can you tell me then about your new horses coming through?
Yes.
And your training regime for them. Where do you see, what are your plans? Because we've got young horses, we've got old horses, and we need to know where we are in the training schedule and what we need to do to get where you are.
Well, I currently have a five-year-old, my blue hall, Zach, who is 17.2 currently. He's going to be an amazing horse. So he's still starting out. He's a little bit green because he's had to have time to grow into his body because he's quite leggy. So, I'm very excited about him. He's training at about novice level. So he's very, very much at the start of his career. And then I have Hector, who's my little 16.2, who we call the Barbie pony. He's got such a personality. So yeah, he's 6 years old and he's training towards advanced medium. Mm-hmm. And he will be campaigned later on this year at advanced medium and hopefully next year as pre St. George. And fingers crossed, both of those will come up behind Squeak and be my next international horse. Although I'm hoping to keep Squeaks running until the next Olympics. That is still my aim, is to get to the Olympics. I was so close last time, so I'm still going to gun for it, all being well. And it's quite exciting to have two really nice horses coming up behind. And the other one's my Grand Prix horse, my national Grand Prix horse, who will potentially come back out again this year.
So, oh, how fabulous. And so, how lovely to have them at different levels.
Yes.
So you're challenging your own challenges are different at each point as well for each horse that you ride.
Definitely. Definitely, yeah. I mean, I've gone a few years now with, before I got the two youngsters, I had a bit of a gap where I was just riding my advanced horses that I trained up for youngsters. And I was thinking, oh, God, have I still got the knack to do this? You know, can I still do it, train them from the 2-3 year olds, but to be honest, like riding a bike, you don't lose that sort of knowledge that you gain to be able to do it. So fingers crossed they stay happy, fit and healthy, and we can
keep going.
Continue my international career. So
are you away a lot? Do you spend a lot of time abroad?
I have done recently, yeah. I mean, normally you campaign the summer and I go abroad to compete, but I've actually done the winter season this time, so I've been away. I could be away sort of 2 weeks out of the month, which is quite a lot. And then I have to fit and teach as well. I do a lot of clinics and obviously pass on my knowledge to people, and they're pretty busy, which is great. I also go over to Finland to teach.
Wow.
So yeah.
Why
it's quite full on. I was asked to go over there. I mean, they saw me compete and they said, could I go over and do some clinics? So, and I've also taught in Australia where my in-laws are. My in-laws live in Australia, so go over there for a holiday and do a bit of teaching while I'm out there. So.
Amazing. Do you ever take the horses with you? Obviously not to Australia, but if you go into clinics in other countries?
No, because they travel enough. So they have, it only ends up being a two-day clinic, so they just have a little holiday in the field for 2 days and then back riding them again.
I think webinars are the way forward. I think, clinics on a webinar, a couple of people can bring their horses to your yard and then you can put it out to those people, because the amount that you're away and competing, there just aren't enough hours in the day, and we all want to lap up this knowledge and we all want to learn, but you just don't have enough days.
No, I mean, it's, my career has changed over the past few years. I mean, I used to do a lot of individual teaching, and now I'm more clinic-based, and it's great because then I don't have to travel so much. So that saves a lot of time on my part, so I can ride my horses more and I can, run my teaching business alongside it as well, which obviously helps fund the horses.
Yeah, of course.
So, I manage, it has to be planned, but managing, juggling everything can be quite hard work.
I bet your grooms are quite helpful with that.
Yeah, well, I have one groom and then a temporary one that comes in. But my mum and dad have been such a huge, huge help over the years. I'm based at where I was brought up, so that's really nice. And they've been a huge help and very much part of my journey of where I am now, so... Yeah.
So where can we see you this year then? I want to know where I can see you on all four horses, because we can learn from you riding, like in the novice section. We can say, okay, this is where this horse is at.
Yeah.
And then are you going to the winter, is it the winter regionals?
To be honest, I haven't had a chance this winter to qualify the younger ones for the winter championships because I've been away with Squeak so much. So he's taken up a lot of my time. So this summer, I am hopefully going to compete at Windsor again on Lovely. Squeaky, and then be part of the Nations Cup team in France at Compiègne again. That would be my sort of goal. But then he's going to have a month of just training, and I'm hopefully then, fingers crossed, I haven't decided what I'm going to do yet, but I'm going to bring the other two out in June, July time, and one will probably go out at prelim novice level, and the other one, hopefully, medium. Advanced medium, depending on where that's by then. So yeah, it's going to be an exciting year to bring the youngsters up behind. So
I can't wait to see you. How can we follow you? You're on Twitter, aren't you?
I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook and Instagram as well. Twitter handles WG Dressage, the Instagram at WG Dressage, and on Facebook you can follow me, it's Hayley Watson Greaves at WG Dressage, and there you'll find all our journey of our competitions.
Love it. I'm looking at your photos, Hayley, while you're doing that. I'm having a look at your photos, and I have to ask, how do you get the front legs when you're doing your stunning extended trot? How do you get the front legs so high and get so much lift?
That's all him.
Is it? Is that his breeding? Yeah.
Well, do you know what? When he was young, he used to do an extended trot by just flicking his toes. He did not have that lift. And then I started teaching him a bit of passage, which is the collected trot. And since that day, this extended trot suddenly appeared. It was almost like he found this extra stride he had. And I couldn't believe it. When I first sort of saw it in the mirror, I got so excited. I called out to my mum. I was like, oh, my mum, look at this, mum, look at this. My God, look, his legs are coming. But it was just years of developing his paces, teaching him that he didn't just have to trot like a pony. He did actually have several different trots in there, which is the same as all horses. They've got to be taught that they can do a, working trot, a collected trot, a passage, extended trot, medium trot. They don't know that. So, just in the training and, just got strong enough and suddenly these legs started appearing in front of me.
Oh,
I make it sound so simple, but it does take years of hard work and training, so
so you know what I'm going to do this afternoon? I'm going to go and plait Black Jack's mane, have a little word with him, and then take him for a trot around the field, and then say, come on, buddy, you've got more trots than you. Let's find your flicking trot.
Yes. Find your flicky toes.
Yeah. That was brilliant. Hayley, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. Thank you. I'm really looking forward to watching your journey this year and, leading up to the 2020 Olympics. You're just doing so well.
Thank you.
And I'd love to stay in touch if possible.
Of course.
Maybe if you have time, maybe we could come and visit you at your yard one day and meet Ruben's Knight and meet your team.
Of course, yeah, you're more than welcome. That'd be great.
Thank you. Okay, well, we can follow you on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, and we'll see you very soon. Thanks, Hayley.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Hayley's sponsored by some fabulous brands, including Top Spec, Supreme Products, who make Ruben's Knight look so stunning all the time, Cirencester Saddlers, Petri, Stroud Saddlery, Ideal and WRS, Stockpin and Filthy Beasts Horse Rug Laundry. And if you'd like to follow Hayley's story or just maybe look at a few pictures of them together, then head to our website, wgdressage.co.uk. Now, you can hear more episodes of the Horse Hour podcast via our website, which is horsehour.co.uk, and you can also download on iTunes and Acast, Stitcher and Player FM. Super easy. Just hit the subscribe button and each episode is automatically downloaded to your mobile phone. They are available both on iPhones and Android. So there's no excuse to not listen to the amazing riders that we have on and the veterinary advice as well. I really look forward to speaking to you every Monday on our Horse Hour Twitter networking hour. You just pop on over to Twitter, type in hashtag Horse Hour whenever you write a tweet, and you can see all the conversations and take part in everything else that's going on around the world. So equestrians from all over the world get together and talk to each other. And, you know, it could be that you want to share a bit of advice. Maybe you'd like to ask for some advice, or you just want to pop on a new photo of your gorgeous pony. Whatever it is, the community are amazing and we want to follow you on your journey. So do get in touch. I hope you've had a lovely Easter and I'll speak to you soon.
You've been listening to Horse Hour. Join the community on Twitter, Mondays, 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern, by using the hashtag Horse Hour. Follow Amy at AmyStevenson1 and subscribe to us on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher and Player FM.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.